Joining me on the bottom half of the screen, if you haven't guessed already, he was the captain of the Perth Wildcats for 8 seasons, and he's a passionate supporter of the Freo Dockers. Damien Martin, thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, my pleasure. I've dug out the old school Freo Dockers shirt. I was trying to find a jersey that my cousins gave me in 2010 when I first moved here. It's had plenty of use, and it certainly shows its wear and tear.
I love the old school. I love the placement of the hat in the background as
Yeah.
well.
Oh, what a coincidence there.
Oh, crap, I didn't see that there. Let's go back to the beginning, Damo. Can you tell us a story of how you first became a Freo Dockers supporter?
Yeah, I grew up in country New South Wales, where even to this day, it's all rugby league territory. There's no AFL whatsoever. So to be honest, I didn't know a thing about footy until I moved here. And I've told this story a few times, even at members' functions at games. But when I moved here, I've got cousins in Rockingham. And, they said they'd pick me up from the airport when I signed my contract with the Wildcats. And quite nervous having moved interstate by myself. I'll never forget coming down the escalator at Perth Airport. When I see my three cousins, they got tattoos and beards, the boys, and then my female cousin Heidi, she was there with a blonde dreadlocks. I get down to the bottom of the escalator and they said, "Marto, we're your cousins and here's your Dockers jersey." So I was like, "Oh, sweet, then I'll take it." Flung the jersey over my shoulder, and then they gave me a tour of Perth. And I remember a few days later, I got asked to do my first ever radio interview in a studio, and I was quite nervous. But in those few days I'd lived in Perth, I realised just how popular AFL was, and how much the Eagles and Dockers dominated the pages. So I called my cousins and I said, "In case they ask me about footy, who do I say I go for?" And they're like, "Oh, Fremantle Dockers, not a problem. If they ask me about players, who should I say is my favourite player?" And at the time, the best two players were Aaron Sanderlands and Matthew Pavlich. So I'm doing this interview in the station, and they're talking about life in Sydney versus life in Perth, Wildcats versus the Sydney Kings, so on and so forth. And then they said, "All right, you live in WA, who's your footy team?" And I'm like, "The Fremantle Dockers, I bleed purple," trying to sound good. And then they go, "All right, who's your favourite player?" And I'm like, "Oh, Matthew Sanderlands, you can't go wrong." So I managed to mix them up. My cousin's never forgiven me and I sounded like an idiot, but I've stayed with them ever since.
We love that. Forced upon you. And Matthew Sandland's a fantastic player for us.
Imagine
Aside
that, though.
from,
Imagine that
oh,
combination.
it'd be a hell of a combo. Aside from Matthew Sandland's, can I ask your favourite player to ever pull on the purple jumper for Freo across the journey? Do you have one? Is it Pav? Is it Sandy? Is it someone else?
Michael Walters is hard to go by. I love watching him. Sandy, I used to love watching. I just thought he dominated, the big lumberjack out there. I remember hearing Dean Cox talk about him, and they asked how he prepared for the derbies, and he'd just say he'd tackle and run into a tree stump all day, every day in the build up to get ready for Sandy. So, look, I love those big guys. Fife, obviously amazing. Lachie Neale, when he was out here in the few years, I got to know him off the field as well. He's a great guy. Barlow. So, yeah, there's a number of legends, but I think the way, Walters plays, just the skill behind it is just incredible.
Sonny's a fantastic player. We're lucky to have him. Hey, back to current day. We're over 2 weeks into a new year now in 2021, but 2020, a weird one to say the least. From a footy perspective, Freo-wise, what do you think of it?
Oh, it definitely had its. They definitely moved in the right direction insofar as moving forward into the future. I was at their last home game, I think, was it Carlton, where Carlton kicked the winner after the siren, after that penalty. And yeah, they've shown enough where there's excitement for this upcoming season. But yeah, just the highs and lows, but definitely headed in the right direction. And COVID, the thing people don't realize about COVID is it probably tested teams' mental toughness as much as their skill set. And I thought Freo really handled that combination well, which was exciting to be able to do that with such a young playing group.
You said you're at that Blues game. I was going to ask, live games at Optus, are you able to get to many? And how do you find a Freo game day?
I love it. Absolutely love it. So my cousins that I mentioned from Rocco, they're all members. And so when there's a spare ticket that pops up, I'll go with them, or I'm lucky enough to be invited to a couple of games outside of that. So yeah, it's just a great atmosphere all around. When the wave gets started, when the chant of Freo is there, the amount of times my cousins yell ball, even though it's clearly not a penalty, but we take it. We'll go with it, and just get caught up in the excitement of wearing the purple.
Now, Damo, you were invited by the club last pre-season, I think it was, to chat to the playing group and the coaching staff, a bit about all things leadership and how to sort of influence his culture. Can you tell us about that session and how it felt chatting to the group?
Yeah, it was great. So I got a call from their manager, and he just asked, while COVID's on, they're still trying to stay engaged with their players, even though they couldn't be on the field all the time. And so one of the things they did, I believe they broke up the playing squad into three groups. One third was watching the Ashes, the cricket documentary. I'm not sure what the other third was watching. And then the team or the group I spoke to were watching the Michael Jordan 10-part series that was on Netflix. And they just asked me if I wanted to speak about the, you know, the documentary, what I'd learned from it, and then what the playing group was learning from it. So, yeah, it was great jumping on a Zoom call. It was funny. I was actually at work in real estate. So there I am talking to the Frio Dockers about Michael Jordan documentary. And I've got some sales reps behind me going, wait, is that so-and-so? Is that so-and-so? I was like, yeah, that is the Dockers players. So it, you guys make me look good because all of a sudden I'm doing a Zoom with some of my colleagues' favourite players.
Love that. Damo, it's nice to talk to you face-to-face like this. You probably wouldn't know this, but 6 or 7 years ago, when I was much younger, back in the high school days, me and my mates used to, our job was to run around in those red morph suits at Wildcats games. We love that.
You're kidding me. So yes. That was the morph suits were, the first time they brought them in, I was speaking with our GM at the time, and he was saying there was so many complaints because I guess the first ever game you guys were in the morph suits, you weren't wearing the shorts. And so it wasn't covering too much and people got to know you guys way too intimately than what they wanted. So from then on at every game, the morph people had to wear shorts as well.
So luckily I missed that part of the morph suit era. I came in at the shorts time, but yeah, family friendly affair and certainly a revealing suit that is. But I remember running around dishing out high fives and being down on that court, that RAC Arena is so damn loud. And I think the Red Army and the Purple Army have a bit of similarities in that sense, the passion and the supportership that they provide. Can you talk to us just what it's like playing in front of such a loud crowd like that, that is so passionate about their team?
Yeah, it is incredible. I was the eldest player on the team, was fortunate enough to be there from game one at RAC to obviously retiring. And you just never get sick of it. So when the music starts, when your name's called, your number's announced and you run out onto the court, you know, I was still getting goosebumps up until my last game. And the best way for me to explain home court advantage is when there's plays within the game where the crowd goes nuts, it just motivates you to do whatever it takes to try and replicate that noise, that atmosphere. So whether it feels like you're running a little bit faster, jumping a little bit higher, getting in a defensive stance, even though you're fatigued, you do whatever it takes to replicate that atmosphere over and over and over again. And that's what home court advantage is, or home crowd advantage creates. So whether it's, you know, Fife, you're kicking a snap goal and the Purple Army going nuts, and then you see everyone lift on the field, or Bryce Cotton hit a step back three and then you see everyone lift on the basketball court. Just having the crowd go crazy. To be honest, you don't hear it for probably 95% of the game, but that 5% where you really get caught up in it is so positive and has a huge impact on the scoreboard.
I feel you're the perfect person to ask this, obviously. But a basketball background, why do AFL teams keep poaching young basketballers, Damo? You constantly hear about the likes of Scott Pendlebury, Christian Petrarca. Is it as simple as that time and space factor that just translates so well between sports?
Yeah, well, I think in juniors, the hand-eye coordination, the agility, the fitness level, you know, by the time a kid's 14, 15, 16, having to make that decision, it's not uncommon they've been playing 2, 3, 4 sports and a natural sports person. So, you know, usually, you know, the midfielders and someone up forward probably have a similar body type to the basketballers. And so they do get poached. Scotty Pendlebury, for example, he was a hell of a basketball player. And he's the same age group as Paddy Mills, and Paddy was a hell of a footballer. So they were kind of the best two players in their age group for both sports. And Scotty actually got offered a scholarship to the Australian Institute of Sport in Canberra for basketball. And I believe he came up for 1 or 2 days and then said, no, I'm going to go back to footy. And then him leaving the AIS opened a scholarship, which they gave to Paddy Mills, and Paddy Mills quit football, came to basketball. And now Scotty will go down as one of the all-time greats for Collingwood, and Paddy's, you know, potentially our greatest ever basketball player. So it's funny how that sliding doors moment can happen. And for the two of them, dual sport legends, and it probably worked out, you know, they went the better sport in the end.
And Craig Bowler, of course, was on a Fremantle list. Is he still running around in the NBL at the moment?
Yeah, he is. Craig's still, he's chopped and changed a few times. I want to say he's back with Sydney now. He had a stint in Melbourne. He's doing really well. He even got to wear an Australian Boomers jersey at one stage. Hugh Greenwood, you know, he was obviously signed with the Wildcats. He went over to the Crows and then up to Gold Coast. So, yeah, over the years, there has been quite a few people. But yeah, I think it's the combination of body type, skill set, and a lot of the guys did play footy as juniors.
And how about you, Damo? You play footy as a junior. Do you think you could have been an AFL player?
Mate, I still never even attempt, well, with my daughters, I occasionally have a kick at goal from about 20 out and still feel like I'm going to snap the hammies. Unfortunately, like I said, growing up in country New South Wales, I played a lot of rugby league opposed to AFL. So I would have loved to have given it a try. I definitely wouldn't have made anything of it. I mean, the amount of injuries I've had from a reasonably non-contact sport in basketball, yeah, I don't think I was quite cut out for AFL, but I still love the game and wish I'd had a chance of playing it as a junior.
Yeah, as you mentioned, two daughters, it's still early days, but perhaps one for our AFLW side in the future. Maybe you can split one and one can go play for the Perth Lynx, one can come play for us at Freo.
I'll take that, and I could probably tell you which one was because Bonnie loves tackling already and she turns 2 next week, so I think she's going to be our little AFLW star.
Great, we'll take it. Stay tuned for that. And hey, we've got you at a good time, Damo, because NBL 2021 kicks off tonight, is that right? Adelaide and Melbourne United?
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's been over 300 days since, you know, those last NBL played, which is obviously us versus Sydney in the GF. So I'll be excited to get home, you know, turn the TV on and start watching some live basketball again, which, yeah, it just feels like it's been a long, long time since we saw the NBL up and running.
It's been a long wait. The Perth Wildcats, how are they looking for the season ahead? Is it an 11th championship in store this year?
I'm going to try and be unbiased because I've been asked to do some commentary for the NBL. But the reality is I'm a Wildcats person through and through. So I'll back the guys to get that elusive three-peat. They've had a couple of shots at trying to get a three-peat but haven't been able to do it. Bryce Cotton's the best player in the league. They've just announced the return of Tommy Jervis, who won a championship a few years ago with the Wildcats. He's come out of retirement due to an injury to Majuk. So, yeah, I'm excited to see how the Wildcats go. But because of quarantine after being in Queensland recently, they're actually not playing in round one, so we're going to have to wait an extra week before we see the boys out there.
Can't wait to see them run out. And Jesse Wagstaff just recently announced as the successor to your captaincy. Are you excited that he's taken the reins?
Yeah, definitely. Jesse and I actually lived together when we first moved to Perth, and so I've known him my whole career as a Wildcat. And he's just a great guy, very down to earth. He's been a natural leader, you know, his whole career and a part of the leadership squad since about 2014. So vice-captain the last couple of years. It's always voted for by the players, which makes it a bit more meaningful. So to hear his name announced as captain and Mitch Norton vice-captain, I'm over the moon for both of them and they'll do a great job.
We're looking forward to it. And before we let you go, what's in store for 2021? You mentioned commentary, but what are you up to this year and since your retirement from basketball?
Doing some real estate. So I was doing that the last 2 years of my playing career just because I didn't want to retire, say, on a Friday and have to start a scratch in a new career on a Monday. I've got a wife and kids that I've got to help. So been doing real estate, part owner of an office over in Mount Hawthorn there. And then there's a foundation I work for that's predominantly up in the Pilbara. I will branch out into Perth. And through the foundation, I oversee the basketball side of it. So if you attend school, stay out of trouble with the law, attend our workshops, then the idea is to try and fly down to a Wildcats game or try and help you excel if basketball is your chosen sport or help you go whatever route it is to your pathway to excellence, whether it's sport, music, academics, whatever it may be. But that's my way of staying involved in the game because, like I said, I'll forever love basketball, forever love the Wildcats, and, you know, this is my way of staying involved.
So will we be seeing you around RSC Arena? Is it in a commentary capacity you'll be there? Is it you're going to be able to attend as a fan sometimes? What's the go for you?
Yeah, so Shawnee Redditch, who is a former teammate, and I dare say we'll see his jersey hang from the rafters at some stage at RAC. Uh-huh. He and I will switch off games, I believe. So that works perfectly for me because my daughters love the games. You know, my 4-year-old Maggie still introduces herself to people as Maggie Martin from the Perth Wildcats. So I'll watch every second game in the stands with my wife and two daughters. And then the alternate games, I'll be courtside doing the commentary. So looking forward to, you know, being on the other side of the microphone and coming up with the questions opposed to answering them.
Well, the morph suit days are well behind me, but I'm looking forward to attending some games at the arena.
Don't rule it out. We can get a purple suit. You know, you can stay loyal to the Dockers and still attend a Wildcats. Security might kick you out, but we'll see what happens.
I like that thinking. I'll get you on board. They won't kick me out if you're on my side. Damo, thanks for jumping on today. I've enjoyed our chat, but this series is called For the Love of Freo. So I'd just like to sum up in a sentence or two, if it's possible, what do you love about the Fremantle Dockers Football Club?
Definitely the supporters. From day one, the passion my cousins have shown me has become contagious. Win, lose or draw, it doesn't get any less. So bring on a premiership soon. Can't wait to see them hold up the flag, but definitely the supporters.
We can't wait for that day. Damo, thank you very much. Been a pleasure.
Cheers, guys. Thanks, mate.